This is Christopher O'Reilly, and thanks for downloading this week's bonus content podcast. The young guitarist we featured on our recent show in Las Vegas had such an incredible story that I was thrilled to be able to talk more with him about his history and his original compositions. His name is Parsa Sabet Rasekhi. He's 19, and just to give you the basics, he had to flee his native Iran as a teenager to escape religious persecution. He then journeyed through Turkey as a refugee and finally was permitted to come to the U.S. where he settled in Las Vegas. On our main NPR program, he performed well-known guitar repertoire, but he's also written quite a beautiful piece of his own. We'll hear that in a moment, but first, here's our chat. Parsa Sabet Rasekhi, I wanted to talk to you about your trip around the world and also through music. So first, tell me about music in Iran, your native country.
We don't have any music classes in our high school or middle school, so I went to academy and I took lessons there. And it was kind of difficult to get along with my teacher. He was young and kind of aggressive. I remember him throwing the sheet music away and, you know, telling me that, you know, I told you don't play that fingering. You know, it was a different attitude, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I had to study with another teacher. I studied flamenco with him. Then I left Iran. I went to Turkey, and in the city that I was in it's called Van, V-A-N, and there wasn't any music school I could find. There wasn't any guitar class. I went to one like guitar shop, and then I saw a teacher, and he asked me to. After playing, he asked me to, you know, teach him how to play, and then so, you know, the level wasn't there. So I had to study with myself, which is a really not a good idea.
So as a refugee, were you saying you weren't allowed to take classes for credit?
Yes, in a school, the classes weren't even in English. It was in Turkish, and I didn't speak Turkish. And then they wouldn't give me credit for my work. I could go to school, but I would be a guest, not a student. Mm-hmm. If I was 13, it would be different. But I didn't accept me in high school, so I couldn't do anything. And the work situation was really bad. And it was a dark part of my life because, you know, you go there and whatever you see in television, I was playing a part of it. You know, I was there I went in a line. I saw those Afghan kids in line. I saw those, you know, people from Pakistan who, you know, spent days in lines, and many racism, like, oh, we don't sell houses to Iranians. You know, like, you face many dark side of the world. And then the only thing I could do was to play my music because that was the only option I had. And when I was practicing, let's say I had a record of 12 hours of just playing. So, but I was thinking about that, you know, when I come to the United States, I'll do my best. And I think I did.
Well, you obviously arrived in such great shape that your teacher, well, tell us about your teacher, Ricardo. I guess his first meeting with you, he was pretty much astonished at how well you were prepared.
Well, me too, because he's such a legend. I went to his class, and then because of the networking, you know, I didn't know him. And he opened the door, I just smells coffee, and then he's like, come on in. And I went to his home, and I played for him, and he was like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I don't know. I just love guitar, and I want to do this. And I was practicing flamenco a lot, and we start talking, and he told me his plans. He was like, listen, we can do this, we can do that, you can come to UNLV on your junior year, you can go to Spain and take lessons there. And I was basically flying. And
incredible. Yes. So a very, very big difference coming into contact with Ricardo Cabo.
Yes.
What sorts of things is he working with you on? What are the major leaps that you're making under his tutelage?
Like, what am I working with him?
Yeah, not just what pieces, but what sort of concepts do you think he really opened your eyes to?
Well, you know, it's not when I go to his lessons, we don't just talk about music. It's about personality. It's about many things. You know, sometimes when I come to a stage, it's not about me anymore. It's about the listeners, the audience, that they trust me, and then, you know, I have to be honest. in order to, you know, play a good music. And that's it, it, you know, audience will understand that. And it, this affect your life, this affect your personality, that you have to be always honest. And, you know, I faced a lot of problems, you know, like, especially I'm a teenager too. So I faced a lot of depression and, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. And then, you know, Ricardo would just give me his advice, and I would be really motivated after the lessons. And yeah, it did like shape the way of my life, you know.
It's a very telling thing about a great musical mentor, that they really couch all of their instruction in the holistic approach to the human being as musician and music as a major part of life. So that's wonderful that you two have connected. I understand that in addition to performing music as being a major outlet, you have your own compositional voice as well. Let's hear a little bit of a clip of a piece that you wrote called Snowflight. So tell me about the moment in your life that made you want to write this piece.
That was my first Christmas time in the United States, and we had an orchestra teacher in my high school, and he gave us a homework to play a Christmas piece on guitar, and to be honest with you, I hated all of them.
Yes.
They just don't sound good on guitar, you know. And I told him, and he was like, well, there are like thousands of them, go play one. And I was like, what if I make my own? And he was like, we'll do it then. And I got alone in the house. I didn't have any friends, and I thought about my, you know, loved ones in Iran, and it was really dark. Oh my. Yeah, and I start playing, and I play, and then I start composing something, and that was my first experience of writing a piece down. Then after that, I wrote a poetry for it, and this is my first piece that I ever composed.
So you have the poem with you? Can
Yes.
you read it for us?
Yes, I will. From my diary, first year in the United States, Christmas 2016. I'm 16 years old in a new high school. About 2 years ago, I left Iran, my home, and all of my friends. Music makes me feel free from all my conflicts, and my notes express feelings and stories of my peace. Snowflight is a deep story in my dreams about how the dust of the snow covers the cage of my heart. Music is the only way I can define my emotions. Feelings from a speechless lover who yells his poems of loneliness. Feelings from a blind lover who dares to gaze at the candlelight surrounded by the morn of darkness. Feelings from a deaf lover who hears the verse of the Lord from the color of strings. Feelings from the burning of every single stacked word in my throat that I never expressed. I taste the bitterness of being caged more intensely than ever before. But how do I forget the snow? My feelings are the only things I trust. They are the reasons I have proof of my existence. Feelings from what I see either make me stronger or break me. I don't know. I see all of them when I play my guitar. I see this snow dust flying about my eyes. When a single flake sits upon my eye, it melts and becomes a tear. My tears of snowflake.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And now we'll hear Snowflake in its entirety. Thank you. We heard Snowflight by Parsa Sabat Rasekhi. Thanks for listening to this bonus content podcast. To hear the full show featuring more of Parsa's story and music and four other outstanding young musicians, download show 351 Las Vegas. And we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a message on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fromthetopfans, or on Twitter @classicalkid. Or find us on iTunes and leave us a review.